Let me explain why so many people are turning to solar and electric vehicles and battery storage right now. It's because of the Strait of Hormuz. It's because of this war that Trump started with Iran. And, you know, it's been great for the world economy. It's been great for agriculture to be able to have access to easy energy, you know, to buy a gallon of diesel and get so much work out of a gallon of diesel or a barrel of oil. It's amazing, actually, how much labor is represented in a gallon of diesel or a barrel of oil or a gallon of gasoline. It's been the deal of the century, actually, to be able to extract it out of the ground and refine it at scale and end up with something that can just do work. You know, it can turn a PTO, it can rotate an engine, it can plow a field, it can run a generator, it can do all these things. It's miraculous. And yet, the problem is that it all comes from centralized sources. And we're finding that out the hard way now with the Strait of Hormuz. But even before the Strait of Hormuz, remember what the Democrats were doing in America, all the climate cultists, and they were shutting down the coal-fired power plants, weren't they? You know, that's another form of, you know, fossil fuel, as they call it. But they were also putting emissions on vehicles via the EPA that would have made combustion engines illegal. By the year 2035, no combustion engine vehicles would have been allowed on U.S. roads. I mean, consumer-grade vehicles. And at the same time, they were banning imports of EVs from China. So you couldn't buy the world's best EVs, and you couldn't drive combustion engines. So what were you supposed to do? You know, just ride a bicycle everywhere. Just have a rickshaw, I guess. I don't know. But that was completely insane, and it just showed yet again how dangerous it is to rely on either governments or industries that function as choke points. They can choke off your access to fuel. You know, the refineries go down, boom, you have no fuel. The Strait of Hormuz gets closed, boom, 20% of the world's fuel supply effectively is shut off. Or the government changes its policies, boom, you can't access fuel. So sunlight cannot be stopped by governments, thank God. If they could stop it, they would. I mean, if they could tax it, they would. And of course, they can try to run these experiments of dumping particulate matter into the stratosphere. You know, the aerosol injection experiments. But that would take a number of years to make a huge difference in the diminishing of sunlight. I mean, it would take, I don't know, millions of flights of releasing millions of tons of particulate matter. Basically, they'd have to simulate a massive volcano going off, which is a lot of energy involved in that. And so it would take governments quite some time to make that happen. Now, that may be their goal eventually, but they haven't been able to achieve it yet, and it's not going to happen next year. And it's not something they can just flip a switch and dim the sun, although they would like to. So sunlight is persistent. Yeah, thank God. And it's resilient. It comes up every day, weather permitting. And governments can't interfere with your collection of sunlight. So you can buy solar panels all day long and you can collect all the energy you want from the sky. The problem is, the challenge has been, how do you store it? So this is where governments have been involved in suppressing technology and patents and so on, in order to block advancements in battery technology. But they haven't been able to do so fully. And battery tech continues to be advanced by especially countries like China, but also South Korea and Japan. And there's even one company in Europe called Donut Lab that claims to have a new solid-state battery that is in production in their motorcycles, the Verge motorcycles. So there actually are advancements in battery technology that the U.S. government itself has not been able to suppress. And this is the opening for you and I, is to acquire this, I don't know if I want to call it revolutionary battery technology, but it keeps getting better now. It's better than lead acid, that's for sure. It's better than the old lithium ion. I mean, now we're talking about lithium iron phosphate as probably the most common battery chemistry today. And of course, there's sodium ion and there's like sodium sulfur batteries, and there's lithium with manganese, and there's some other different formulations that show a lot of promise. And it's not, they're not miraculous. They're still big and heavy, very big and very heavy. It can weigh like 75 pounds to have something that just stores like 5 kilowatt hours, So they're still big and heavy, but they are available. And with a little bit of ingenuity and some cost and some expertise and learning, you can put together relatively easily these days a solar charging battery storage off-grid system that can then charge up an electric vehicle, or it can charge electrical, batteries, appliances, cordless tools, or what have you. Or if you have a large enough system, it can run your house. Although that's a pretty large system if you want to go completely off-grid, and you would probably need a backup generator. But the Strait of Hormuz closure, which continues now, it's approaching its 7th week, and not going to be pretty. This is encouraging people to move over to electric vehicles and off-grid electric solutions. So the Hyundai company, which is a South Korean manufacturer of automobiles, I think it has the same parent company as Kia, by the way, but Hyundai has experienced a 500% increase in the sales of their electric vehicles. They have vehicles, I think they're called Ioniq, different Ioniq models that are EVs. And since we can't buy Chinese-made EVs because they're banned in America, because they're so affordable, and it would destroy Ford, right? And it would destroy GM, and it would destroy Tesla. So we can't buy Chinese vehicles in America. So South Korean-made vehicles become the kind of the go-to vehicle for EVs. So lots and lots of people are buying out the inventory of Hyundai right now. That's kind of interesting. And on top of that, then you've got more and more people who are interested in off-grid storage solutions. You've got a lot more interest in these rack-mounted batteries, typically 48-volt batteries that have handles, and they're designed to fit into a physical rack. And they might have, like I said, 5 kilowatt hours of energy in them, give or take. And some of them are UL listed, and some of them just catch on fire randomly. So, buyer beware. But those are becoming a lot more popular. There's a lot more interest in that. And yeah, most of those are made in China. And then I've also seen increased interest in things like Stirling engines and sand batteries and, heat-based power generation, parabolic mirrors. All that gets ridiculously complex and stupidly expensive, and everything breaks. So I'm not recommending that. But there's a lot more interest in it because people are realizing that the Strait of Hormuz approach to energy is not reliable. That's just not going to fly. So what should you be doing in all of this? Well, number one, just start learning the language of off-grid power if you don't already know about it. If you're not using any solar at all, you can start with something small like our friends, our sponsors at the satellite phone store. They've got their solar generators. And they'll sell you solar panels, too. You throw up like a 400-watt solar panel, plug it into your solar generator, and boom, you're charging things. And, you're storing energy, and then you can charge your mobile devices, things like that. Their website is sat123.com, same as the satellite phone store, but they also sell solar generators. Or you can go bigger on this, and you can start sizing a solar installation. My only warning about that, because I've done this before in the past at my offices, there are a lot of companies that will be happy to install a solar system for you. And after they install it, you will never be able to reach them again because they don't make money maintaining systems. They don't make money troubleshooting systems or supporting systems. They make money installing systems. And they aren't interested in coming back and solving a problem and keeping your system running. So at least this has been my experience. So if you install a solar system, you should know that you're on your own at that point. You're on your own. So you better know how everything works, what it is, and Sadly, there's a bunch of these inverters out there where they don't let you access the configuration unless you're a certified installer and you have to type in a special code. Like Sunny Boy is a brand, I think, that does that. It's just absolutely infuriating. Don't buy any brand that doesn't let you configure it, you know, because you're never going to be able to get the installer back. They're too busy making more money setting up solar panels for schools and government projects. And if you want some free resources on how to do this, just go to my book platform website, books.brightlearn.ai, and search for the word solar. You can download all kinds of free books. There's over 50,000 books there. They're all free. You can download all these books that will teach you how to set up solar systems and how to run batteries and how to do all that stuff. So check it out there. You can also follow my work at brightvideos.com and my articles at naturalnews.com. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for listening. Get ready for the end of affordable energy. That's where this is going. All right, take care.
Stock up on Health Ranger's nascent iodine, highly bioavailable, shelf-stable, non-GMO, and lab-tested for purity. A bug-out bag essential. Only at healthrangerstore.com.